right, let's turn in our outline and our Bibles. It'd be Leviticus chapter 23, where we have the festivals, and our outline is page 9. Now, just a little review to catch us up. Page 9 of the outline, the Bible 23. And we're just going to do a fast forward here. How many major feasts are they?
Seven.
Is the Sabbath considered a feast?
No.
But it is a special day, an event. What are some of the others that aren't covered in these feasts? What are other special ones that they have? Well, come on. You know that in the Jewish traditions, they celebrate today. What are they doing at Christmas time?
Hanukkah.
But it has nothing to do with Christmas at all. It has to do with lights. Right? Okay, when did that come about?
On your sheet here, it says it's part of trumpets.
No.
Rosh Hashanah.
No.
Rosh Hashanah.
That's not Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur.
I'm sorry.
Part of the feast.
Yes.
When Antiochus came to the rebuilt temple and the Maccabean were fighting, the menorah in the temple that is fed by pipes for oil, they weren't able to continue it. But God kept it going supernaturally for how many days?
Eight days.
And the menorah has... Right. That's what is the festival of lights of that. And I'm not going to go into a whole message on that, but it's a great one, and it should be preached in churches, because you study that all the way through, and what do you see? Why did God give them in the tabernacle to have the menorah in there? And they had the showbread on the other side. Jesus is known as the light of the world. He's known as the bread of life. Everything relates to Jesus Christ. Oh, but that's the Old Testament. Yeah, he came into Bethlehem as a baby, right? I guess he's grown up now, but no. That is not where he began, you know that. What's the other one? Purim. That had to do with? Book in the Bible, a lady?
Esther.
What happened?
She interceded for the Jewish people when Haman was going to...
Right. The gallows that were built for
Mordecai
ended up with
Haman.
He built it, he ended up on it. There's a great messages in there. Because the king, Xerxes, had given the decree, he was set up for it, he couldn't back out of it. But through Esther, found out, he let the people arm themselves, right? And saved the Jews from all over the empire. Satan's trying to get rid of the Jews all the time. Why?
Because Jesus
is chosen people.
Yes, but why? We say they're the chosen people, but actually they were created out of nothing. The word... of creation of that. If you look in the 70 nations after the time of the ark coming down in the Tower of Babel, when that was occurring in chapter 10 of Genesis, what do you find? A list of 70 nations. Noah's three sons and their sons and sons, and now 70 nations. You don't see Israel, right? No, he called the man who was a Gentile, because they're all technically Gentiles. And that's Abraham, right? Builds a family through Isaac and a nation through Jacob, right? So that's why. Then they become that, because they are then used by God to bring us the scriptures and bring us the Messiah. Satan's enemy, right? Okay. So, back to these feasts. We say there are how many total?
Seven.
Yeah, seven. But within the seven,
three.
There are clusters.
Right.
Yes. So how many?
Three major.
Three main. So the first is
Passover.
Next one?
Pentecost
and Tabernacles. The best way to look at this, I think, is to call them, as the Bible does, the season of Passover. And I put like an umbrella. And then we have a season of Tabernacles. Now, the way to remember this, because I use association. All right. The season is Passover. And what is the first feast in Passover? It's Passover. In Tabernacles, what is the last feast?
Tabernacles.
You see? The first has the first and the last has the last. So you don't have to try to remember it. That's how I learn things, by association. Our mind works that way whether you program it or not, but you need to work at programming it so that there's something that will remind you. Some people used to tie a string on their finger to remind them of something, and then they couldn't remember why it was there when they got older. I guess we have that problem, so you have to put another note. I put something out on my kitchen counter as a reminder or something. Sometimes I try to remember why it's there. So we have three: Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacles. Now we've studied a lot about the Passover. Those three feasts really are into two groupings, because the Passover part goes with the unleavened bread. And that's in a meal called the Seder meal. Out of this Seder meal, God, Jesus Christ himself, gave something to the church that was soon being born to remind us of all this. And what was that? The bread and the cup? Communion. Right. And then first fruits is the resurrection. So this is the crucifixion, and this is the resurrection. First fruits represents that. Jesus gave these to Moses to give to the people, and therefore the church also, by the way. We have substituted Passover. Now that we go out and get a lamb and do all those things, because we have a lamb and he's in heaven. Right? Okay, but we now have called this something else. The Catholic Church has tried to do everything they could, and many of the Protestants follow the same thing, to do what? To move away from Judaism and to say that Christianity has replaced Judaism. No, it isn't. You can't cut your roots off and have anything live. The roots of the church are in Judaism. The fruit of Judaism is the church. We call this Ishtar. You know, it's a pagan fertility goddess. And I'm going to go into all that, but there are a lot of evil things attached to that. That's why people have eggs, rabbits, and all that stuff, because it's new birth. Springtime, birth, and all this stuff. Right. And so you miss the whole point. So, I know about you, but I refer to this as the Holy Week thing is also Catholic. So what are we really celebrating here? The death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, and then on that one day, it's Resurrection Day, right? Okay. Pentecost, which occurred how many days after Passover?
50.
And that's why we get the Penta, 50. But it's also called something else. The what's the Hebrew word for Pentecost? Shavuot. It's probably in your outline there somewhere. But it's also called the Feast of Weeks. Okay, perfection in the Bible is number what? Completion. Seven. Okay, so there's seven sevens, which makes 49 days. How do you get the 50? 49 plus 1. Isn't that simple?
Pretty sure.
Yeah. That's not very doctrinal biblically, but that is what it was. God added a day. So when we have perfection and we add a day, what's the deal here? When we have a week of 7 days and we add a day, what do we get? A new beginning. 8 is new beginning in the Bible. This is why man is referred to as the number 6. And in Revelation you have 666, the satanic trinity. God's referred to as 777. If you're a believer, you probably got that on your forehead and your hand here. God knows his people, and Satan knows you too. He can see that. We can't see that. Right? At some point, people are going to take on Satan's sign of the 666. The number of man created on the sixth day, but we have a parallel, because Satan tries to imitate God and to fool people. So, what do we have for the first 7? God the Father. Alright? I tell people in the class, when they just say God, I assume they're referring to the Father. And by the way, when you talk to people about God, you usually don't have a lot of trouble unless you got an atheist. You know what I talk to when I talk to an atheist, what I say? Well, according to your belief, I'm looking at God. You said that there is no God. You don't believe in God. All right, so you've made all this, you've done all that stuff, and you're telling me there is no God. I'm looking at him. That's a good way to witness to an atheist. And say it nicely. Well, I'm looking at him. What else do you have for me? What other wisdom do you have? It's a wonderful way to get into that. So we have God the Father. Now what's the first 6 going to be?
Satan.
Yeah, that's Satan. Right. All right. Now we have another 7. It's going to be the Son. So what is going to be the second 6? The anti-Son, Jesus Christ, so it's the anti-Christ. Now the word prefix anti in English means
against.
Not in Greek. Certainly he's against, but he wants to fool you, so he's not coming in denouncing Jesus. He's going to be imitating him. So anti in Greek means in place of. We could just say false. False. People are going to believe he is. Reverend Moon. There are many people who claim to be the Lord. You know what the answer to that is? Because that would have to be the second coming. I didn't see things get dark and like lightnings flashing from east to west in the sky when you came. Where's your birth certificate? Well, that's where you came from. He's not coming that way. Right? This simple things like that, if you know the Bible, it gets them to, think. Well, wait a minute. They expect you to go saying all kinds of things and getting them upset and denouncing what they believe. No, to say, well, did that happen? I don't recall it happening. What do we do with the last 7? That is the Holy Spirit. So what do we have? The false prophet, whom I believe will be somewhere in Vatican City. So that day then would be another Sabbath. See, in the Bible, the Sabbath given to Moses as a sign of the covenant was always on a certain day of the week. For us, it would be starting Friday night and going to Saturday night, 6 p.m. Friday night. That's why they go to temple on Friday or on Saturday. And so that is number 7 in the creation, the day God rested. Not because he was tired, but it has to do with peace with God. We have our rest in Jesus Christ and so on. See, it's all interrelated. So what do you have then, any time that you have a situation where God's a festival and that, he adds a day for a what?
Rest.
a special Sabbath, sometimes called a special high day or a high day. In John, when it refers to this week, when Jesus fulfilled these, we call Palm Sunday, not in the Bible, but anyway, that was when he visited the temple, prophesied in the Old Testament after 383 years from the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem and Nehemiah, that Jesus would come in, the Messiah would come in. Some people knew it and some didn't. Isn't that amazing? God gave that timeline. They could have predicted exactly when he's going to be coming. Just as the same thing, when the tribulation begins, we know exactly when he's coming back the second time. Not talking about the rapture. I believe that's prior to the tribulation. But see, God has given us so much of his word, but we don't study his word many times. Many churches have moved away from God's word. They've even mocked God's word. So just as many of the Jews were not prepared for the first coming, many, many people in churches, including pastors, will not be ready for the second coming. I believe that. I believe the Bible teaches that because of the great apostasy, the great falling away. And if you don't know it, we're living in that time. If you really know, read things from the apologetics, good apologists in Christianity, Dave Hunt, who passed away, and others, things that I don't take time to study what other people write. I don't care to. But when they compare it to the Bible and everything, it's unbelievable what they say. Tony Campbell said, and it was in Christianity Today. It was started by Billy Graham. Look what happened to him. He crashed too. People, we need to stay close to God's word or we can get all messed up. Don't you agree with that? Yes, it's so easy to get sucked up into things of the world. It should be easier for us today to know what's right and wrong, because the wrong has gone so far out in insane kind of things. So that's where you get that. So in John, we know that Jesus could not be crucified on Friday because it had a double Sabbath. Don't you remember? They had difficulty with the embalming. They could do a little bit and they had to quit. Because before the Sabbath is a what day? A prep day. Preparation day. So you got to begin your backing up. Okay, won't go into that now. So that's how you get the 50. Jesus was in heaven how many days from the ascension to the Pentecost? Well, he ascended in 40 days, and this is 50 days, so get the math going, 10 days, right? They didn't know they had been away for 10 days, but it turned out it was 10 days. So, we have Feast of Weeks, Pentecost, or Shavuot in Hebrew. What is important about this for the church?
It's the birth of the church.
Yes. We live in the Pentecost age. Not in tabernacles. Passover is behind us. Tabernacles is in front of us. And we live in the Pentecost. This is why some people are the Pentecostal stuff. We all should be Pentecostals in a sense of Jesus fulfilling this by the sending of the Holy Spirit, and we get saved by the Holy Spirit coming into us. But it's also been distorted into speaking in tongues and all this healing kind of stuff, all that kind of stuff. Does God heal?
Of course.
Yes, he does. I've had it in my own life. Right, he does. He's the healer. You could pray and somebody else could be healed and so on. It's God who does the healing. It's not just because you prayed. We don't know what he's going to do, but we are called to pray. And I think the great thing that happens, how we get blessed when we pray, is when we see a result. See, if you didn't pray, you wouldn't be looking for something to happen. What is God going to do in this case? You wouldn't know. And that's, I think, where the blessing comes back. I know about you, but when I see somebody come to the Lord, that is the greatest blessing for me outside of my coming. You know what I mean? On edge in a way, a spiritual edge with jihad, because I think it's coming. And I can see little signs of it. Yes. I'd rather go home and be with the Lord, like Paul said. But if he's using me to reach these people that I've never personally met him, only by talking on the phone and email, and built this relationship, because he knows Marwan, and Marwan's just the opposite of him. Okay, so this is the birth of the church, and when is the ending of the church on earth? What event? That's the rapture, right. Now, could the rapture occur at any time after the resurrection or the ascension?
Sure.
Yes, exactly. Because what's the word that describes it? Imminent. What does that mean? At any moment. Why did Paul write 1 Thessalonians? The dead in Christ shall alive first, and those caught living will be caught up in the air and translated. That's the rapture. Because the people thought the rapture had already occurred, and some people were saying that. When they say the resurrection has already taken place, that's what they're referring to, is those who have died after the ascension. That's why he addressed that. And you know, that was the first epistle that he wrote. The first one that God had him write was that, because it was troubling people. And that should be an encouragement for us. You know, there are people that spend so much time on the Gospels and Acts. And that's great to know that, that's for sure. But Matthew 24 and Luke 21, Jesus, speaking from the Mount of Olives, told us about the future. That he was coming again. And that you should be ready. Look up. Be watchful. Right? Look up and be watchful. Now that means I stand here and look up, go up in the mount, go up, let's go up to South Mountain, put on white clothes, and sit and wait. Because somebody said the world's going to end in such a year and so on. Well, wait a minute. No. The world doesn't really end. It transitioned to all these things, right? Right. For those that do not have the Lord in a sense and die, yeah, it's over for them. They go to a different world. Does that make sense? Okay, so I'm not putting down this whole idea, but I do know that demons do a lot of manifesting and want to imitate the Holy Spirit. And we are told to discern the spirits. We are to discern. How many Holy Spirits? One. Right? That should make it real easy. I don't care about the millions of others. If they got this plan, they got that plan, they got that, I don't care if it's Rick Warren's plan, I don't care whose plan it is, I don't have to worry about it, right? Because I just want to know the one, the true. And anything else is going to show up as being false. That's as simple as it is. Because I'll tell you what the ministry of the Holy Spirit is, and the role of Jesus Christ and God the Father. How many gods? One God. How many persons? Three. Now this is what becomes difficult. Because when you add one and one and one, what do we get?
One.
Three. What should we get?
We get one.
You're ahead of me. One. Spiritually speaking, the answer is one. Yes. But we would normally think of it as three. I can't explain the Trinity. I know people talk about water, liquid, a solid, and a gas, and so on, right? Okay, but the point is this. They are different, and they aren't different. God cloned himself, and so there are three persons. Spirit is person. It's person, it's not it. The Holy Spirit's not it, it's he. It's person. And so many people think, I'm not putting Jesus Christ down, certainly. But wait a minute, what about the Holy Spirit? Are we going to deny him? Because he is God in the fullness of God. And we live in the day or the era of the Holy Spirit. The church age is that. But see, people aren't satisfied with God, with Jesus. They want power, more power, more power. You know, when you got saved, the power of sin was broken in your life. You can choose to sin and still sin, true. But what more do you need? He gives us whatever is needed. When I got up to give the message, I didn't know what I was going to do exactly. When I got out of my chair and started finding my way up to the pulpit and make sure I didn't fall by hanging on the wall and stood there, I had meditated on some things, but I just said, Lord, here we go again. I know I can rely on you. Let it be you. Really? I have no notes or anything. A lady asked me, I want that message. Can you give me a copy of it? I said, well, I didn't write it down. There's nothing written down. I'm recording the service. I'll give you a CD of the recording. But that, I'm not boasting. I'm just telling you, because of my vision, even more I must rely on the Holy Spirit. All right? It's His power. It's Him doing it. But am I going to go to a special service? Somebody's having Holy Spirit night. Well, I'll tell you, it's not going to be the Holy Spirit. Can I tell the Holy Spirit, hey, tonight on the fourth Sunday at 7 p.m. at such and such a place, we're having Holy Spirit night and you better show up. That's what the pastor is telling people. And then he says, I don't know why you wouldn't want to come and receive more power. You can get anointed by the Holy Spirit. You can speak in tongues. You've got to get these anointings. You've got to get this and all this kind of stuff. See, this pastor used to be more down to earth on this thing. And now things are manifesting. Last Sunday, as I checked him online, he was laughing throughout almost his whole message. Laughing about people in the Bible and everything. See, his mind's becoming depraved. The demons, you're inviting the demons to come. And I say this, and they will take a break. Isn't Jesus enough?
Yes.
What's wrong with Him? He's God. He's everything. God will give you what you need. That's our faith in action. You step out. You went in and had your colonoscopy and do all this stuff. You had those concerns, but if you put your faith and trust in the Lord, He's going to take you through this, whether you die on the table or what, your absent body present with the Lord, whatever, our faith is entrusted in. Yes, we can get some concerns, but we don't want to hang there, do we? No. And that's the way I say, isn't Jesus enough? Look at all He did, and He is God. He sent the Holy Spirit Himself, the Holy Spirit. He's still working, yes, but what does He want you to do? To live a holy and righteous life so you can be a witness to a dark world around you. That is what we need. The courage to stand up for the Bible and the truth of God's Word, right? Now I'm giving a sermon. Amen. We'll take a break.